Today we're going to be sharing some things we're very, very excited about, and we gave this to our class here in Denver that meets on Tuesday evenings, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a place, Darren, where you go into the restroom, especially a restaurant, and they have this sign, you know, wash your hands before you serve customers.
Or before returning to work.
That's right, or before returning to work. And we do that in the natural, in the physical, in the worldly sense. But we haven't put a whole lot of significance into washing our hands in the spiritual. And this is what this message is going to be all about. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you who are listening, that you can finally cut off things that have bugged you or bothered you or weighed you down or burdened you down for years. And you can, by an act of your will and by this very precious ceremony, I love this ceremony, Darren, that we can wash away those things from the past.
We're talking here about washing hands and having a clean heart, and I'll tell you, it helps you get unhooked, to get away from, to leave, to cut off, to sever. And many of those things, Barbara, we talk to people about, they still have an old divorce hanging over their head or a failure of some kind. They had a bad scene or an old memory, a bankruptcy, some kind of defilement or false guilt. And I'll tell you, I love to go after false guilt because God does not want us to suffer with false guilt.
That's right, He doesn't. He really wants us. On our way over here, we were saying, what should some of the titles be? And I like the title, Clean Up Your Act. He wants us to clean up our act. And He wants us to have clean hands and a pure heart before Him. And I believe this is going to be a blessing to you who are listening.
Oh, I do too.
Praise God.
Thank you. You know, some of our friends, Barbara, have done like we've tried to do at times, especially me. They've tried to guarantee the impossible. And sometimes we need some help cutting off the past and getting on with it. Mm-hmm. We've got a wrong ID, a wrong image, a false ID, and that means identification. And many of our friends that are, well, in fact, we've had them get set free of cocaine use. One brother called in, got saved, and got off of cocaine after a 25-year drug habit. And we're just here to tell you that you can get away from those old drinking buddies, the gambling associates, the pity parties,
business, the
negative
partners,
bad mouth.
Oh,
yeah,
yes,
business,
things in business, yes, absolutely.
And many people are still talking sickness, poverty, failure, and all of us have had a Sodom and Gomorrah type experience in our past someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop looking back and get on with our lives because God has good things for us.
Absolutely.
You know, Barb, I love the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. It says, the Lord is with you, and when you're with Him, and if you seek Him, He will let you find Him, but if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. So let's pray, because I know a lot of people feel that God is just can't be found, that He's playing hide-and-go-seek,
right,
and He really isn't. So we eagerly, and I would even say sometimes desperately, seek the Lord. And He said, if you seek for Me, I will let you find Me.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
All right, Barb, why don't you pray right here at the beginning of this message?
Oh, Father God, we come to You today as Your children. And we give You all the title that You so richly deserve. You are Abba, Father. But more than that, Father God, You are Elohim. You are Almighty God, El Shaddai, the One who provides, the All-Sufficient One, the many-breasted One who comes and who is the provision for Your children. And I thank You, Father God, that as we give this message today to our precious friends and our partners, Father God, that You will go into their homes, into their cars, into where they're listening, and You will abide with them. Make Your abode, make Your home with them, and let them know that You are there for them. You are not there to destroy them, but You are there to be their victory and to get them to win. And I thank You, Father, this message will go into their hearts and it will permeate every part of their being. And Father God, that we can stand before You holy and pure and clean and go on with You in victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Barbara, where I was raised and in the church I was raised in fact, my father was a pastor all of my life until I went off to college, but I never heard a teaching on having clean hands and a pure heart. I heard it just glibly spoken occasionally, mm-hmm. You know, a scripture was given, but I never heard anybody really say that you really need to take this seriously when the Bible says you need to have clean hands and a pure heart. Well, several years ago, and I need to set this up so people understand why this means so much to me, but I had tried to buy a ministry headquarters for Darren's Coffee Shop in the 80s, and I was trying to buy a restaurant that had some acreage with it, and it was a large building, and I thought it would be a great place to have a ministry center, kind of a home base. Well, when we got into this, and the price on the property was $1,400,000, and I thought we could handle it, but once we got into the books on the property, we found out that it was just a, as they say in real estate, it was a can of worms. And I realized this thing could not be straightened out, and we were about to get into a real bad, bad situation. And so I decided that we really needed to cancel the contract, and the money that we had put down on this contract, we had to forfeit that and walk away. But also knew that the people that had the piece of property that was for sale, that they would file a lawsuit, and you could do it at that time, and I think you still can, for about $15. And I didn't have the money to defend a lawsuit, and I certainly didn't want to be forced to buy this piece of property. And so I was in a motel, and matter of fact, I went up to the hotel in Cheyenne, Wyoming, called Little America, and I had paid for the room, gone to the room, and I was crying my heart out to the Lord. And I said, God, I don't want to get sued here. I can't afford a lawsuit here. I can't afford to get caught up time-wise and dollar-wise. And he said, go in the bathroom and turn on the water and wash your hands and say this. And he told me exactly what to say, and it went something like this. I cut off and I push away this potential purchase and sale and potential lawsuit and all that. And he said, do it again. And I was washing my hands with soap under the faucet. And he said, do it again. He said, I want you to do that three times. And he said, in front of you, I want you to declare that you cut that off and you push it away. And I put my hands in between each hand washing, and I made a sign of cutting it off like I was actually taking a machete, I guess, or a knife, and I was cutting that off, and then I was pushing that away from my spirit. And he said, my son, if you do that, you will never get sued. You know, Barb, I think I was the only one in the mix, you know, with the realtors and the attorneys and all the people that didn't get sued. Mm-hmm. And I praise God, and then I introduced that to other people, and I found many, many scriptures. And the one scripture that God took me to that night that I was so distraught was found in Matthew 27, verse 17. And it reads like this, and it was a story of Pilate and Jesus, and I'll just briefly read this. But when therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, what do you want me to release for you? Or whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that because of envy they had delivered him up. And when he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. And, of course, that was a custom at this time of the feast that they would release one prisoner.
Yes.
Is that right?
And usually the one that was less guilty, the one that hadn't committed a grievous crime. And, of course, Barabbas was a murderer, a thief and a murderer. But they asked for Jesus to be crucified instead of Barabbas.
And then it goes on to say, Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all, I think this is interesting, Barbara, all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Mm-hmm. Then he released, meaning Pilate, released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified.
Yes.
I think that is a tragedy of tragedies. But here he was turning it over to the church of the day, and they were going to sacrifice the sacrificial lamb, Jesus.
Yes, the Son of God.
But here, one of the key things is the Jews at that time said, let his blood be upon us and on our children.
Yes.
And, of course, we know in history there's the Holocaust, and I believe in some part the Holocaust came because they said, crucify the Christ, the anointed one, and put his blood on us. And I believe that brought the judgment of the centuries down on their heads as a human race.
They were saying, let us be guilty for this. And I believe that some of these grievous things that happened in history were a purification, a final cleansing, a final act of cleansing for this thing that they had said in Matthew, in the 27th chapter of Matthew.
It was certainly a payment.
Oh,
if it wasn't a cleansing, it was a payment.
It sure was. And we know that a lot of this, Darren, first of all, it must begin as a spiritual principle. And then God usually requires us to do something in the physical. And as this washing of hands has been done in the physical by Pilate,